Dr. Weaver, it has been a great blessing to be here. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And in the Sunday school hour this morning, I'd like for us to think about the simple subject of the biblical basis for faith promise giving. Now, we have mentioned that faith promise giving is simple. We have mentioned that it really works. But the reason we really love to use it is because it is scriptural, okay? And if it's in the Bible, then we ought to practice it, okay? And this will be, I trust, will be a blessing to you. Have your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And please get your faith promise commitment card. Do you have it in your hand? If you do, just wave it at me. Would you just a minute? Do you have your faith promise commitment cards? Ushers, where are the ushers, Brother Weaver? They're going to give them out a little later. Okay. But at the end of the service today, Brother Weaver will come. And he will instruct you as to how to fill out your faith promise commitment card. It's a simple card. It's perforated. It tears in two like this. I always tell people, don't tear it up. Just tear it in two, okay? And on this side is the part of the card you'll turn in. Now, there's no place for your name, so we're not taking pledges. We're taking promises, okay? And somebody said, well, what's the difference between a pledge and a promise? If it was a pledge, you'd have to sign your name to it, okay? And if you signed your name to it and it's a pledge and you didn't pay it, somebody could send you an overdue notice. Now, I'd hate to get an overdue notice from a church, wouldn't you? And I wouldn't like to get one from anybody, so I try to pay my bills on time, okay? And I heard about this fellow one time. He kept getting overdue notice. He got one day and he said, this is your final notice. And he looked at it. He said, praise God, they finally sent out the last one. I've been getting these things for months, okay? Now, this is between you and God. And unless you tell somebody, nobody will know how much you have committed. At the end of the conference, when the total is all given and so forth, these will all be thrown away. There'll be no purpose for them. But there's amounts that vary all the way from $1 a week to $100 a week. And then a place for others in case the amount that God lays on your heart is not specified. You put that amount where it says others. Now, be very careful that you put your decimal in the right place, okay? There's a big difference between 1.00 and 1.00, okay? So just be sure you put your decimal point in the right place. And you have your Bibles open. Let's begin reading. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, one of the churches that he started. And he's writing to them, and you can follow this as I read, okay? He's writing to them, encouraging them to get involved in an offering. The offering is not for the church at Corinth. It is to be given through the church at Corinth, but it is not for the church at Corinth. The offering that he's talking about is going to be sent out to others. And when we think of supporting something outside of our own local assembly and ministry and so forth, then we think of the word missions. So in reality, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9, it's all about giving to mission. And notice what Paul says. You follow me as I read. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now notice what Paul is doing. He's saying to the church at Corinth, I want you to see what God has done for the churches in Macedonia, and I want you to see what they have done. And then he says in verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Notice two things Paul said about the churches in Macedonia. Number one, he said they're going through great affliction. That's not unusual for believers, okay? We're going to have affliction sometimes. But then he said, even in the midst of the affliction, they had an abundance of joy. Now, I've mentioned before, you can't have affliction and fun at the same time, but thank God you can have affliction and joy at the same time. I have no idea how many times I've gone to the hospital or some other place to try to comfort somebody and leave there comforted myself because of the great joy they had even during the midst of the affliction. Then he said they were in deep poverty. Now in reality, you and I that are in this congregation this morning, we don't know anything about deep poverty like they were going through, okay? We have been very blessed here in North America. God has blessed us. Christians in North America that are even on welfare are rich by the world's standards. But these churches were very poor. But notice what he said. They gave very liberally. In other words, they gave very generously. So I trust today that you'll think everybody should get involved. When you look at verse 2 and you're writing notes or anything, you might just write the word participants. Who should participate in faith promise giving? And here Paul is saying these people were very poor, but they gave very liberally. And you have all kinds of examples in the Bible. The widow woman that only had two mites, the little boy that only had two fishes and five pieces of bread, the widow that just had a little meal, and you could go on and on and on of people in the Bible that had very little, and yet they gave very generously. So I trust today, as you think about and pray about your faith promise commitment, that it will be a generous offering. And you might check your budget and see what you spend for other things to determine whether your faith promise giving is really generous or not. And then notice in verse 3 he says, "For to their power I bear record," still speaking about these churches in Macedonia. And what he's doing is he's using them as an example. And he says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." Notice the word power. The power of faith promise giving. And every member of Worth Baptist Church this morning will give in one of three ways. Some will give below their power. Now, I wish you would prove me wrong, okay? But there will be some of you that say, "Well, you know, I'm going to pray about this, or I'm going to think about it, but I'm really not going to do anything about it," okay? "Or I don't like it, so I'm not going to get involved in it." Okay, that's below your power, okay? In other words, everybody could do something. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Then some give according to their power. We look at our budget, we look at our income, and we say, "Okay, I can give this much." But notice what Paul said about these. "For to their power, yea, and beyond their power." How do you give more than you can? That takes faith, okay? In other words, if I look in my budget, I look at my income, and I say, "You know, I can figure out I could give $25 a week," and then I really pray about it, and I trust that many of you have prayed about your faith promise commitment, and God said, "No, I want you to give $50 a week, God." And I look at my budget, I look at my income, and I say, "I can't figure that out." But if God laid it on my heart, then that would take some faith for me to do that. But after all, we call it faith promise giving, okay? So I trust there will be some faith involved in your giving. Then look at verse 4. "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." What is the purpose of faith promise giving? The purpose of faith promise giving is this. So Worth Baptist Church will have the money, and you can say to the missionaries, and I have no idea, there's probably 150, 200 independent Baptist missionaries that are on deputation now that would love to get to the mission field, and the only thing that's keeping them from getting there is God's people giving. And so the purpose of our faith promise giving is that we can have money to give so the missionaries can go to the mission field. This is a very unusual verse. Paul is a missionary, and notice what he said. These churches in Macedonia, they were praying us. And you know what the word praying means? It means asking or beseeching. Now, can you imagine a church calling a missionary and saying, "Dear missionary, would you please come and get our money?" That's not the way it usually works, okay? But the good thing about it is when we all get involved and do what we need to do, then Brother Weaver would be busy finding some good missionaries, some more good missionaries that they could support, or some good projects that need help and so forth. So the purpose of the faith promise giving is that so the church will have the money to give to the missionaries so they can go around the world and preach the gospel, and people can get saved and lives can be changed and churches can be started. See, that's the purpose of it. Okay, look at verse 5. "And this they did, not as we hoped." In other words, Paul said, we were hoping that they would give something. Okay? "And this they did, not as we hoped, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." So think about the prerequisite for faith promise giving. The prerequisite is we give ourselves to the Lord. And by the way, The Lord is far more important in having us than he is in having what we have. But in reality, when we give ourselves to the Lord, he has everything that we have. But Pastor, you might remember this, but years ago, Dr. Robinson baptized a fella, and the fella said to Dr. Robinson after, "I forgot to take my billfold out of my pocket before I got baptized." And Dr. Robinson said, "That's all right, son. Your billfold needs to be baptized too, okay?" But in reality, when we really give ourselves to the Lord, then, you know, giving our possessions is no problem at all. So the prerequisite, they were first gave their own selves to the Lord. Look down in verse 8. Verse 8. "I speak not by commandment." Now look at this very carefully. We've been talking about Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, yesterday in prayer meeting, last night in prayer meeting. Pastor Weaver has been teaching about faith, promise, giving, and so forth. And here Paul makes this statement, and look at it very carefully. "I speak not by commandment." You know what Paul is saying? "I'm not commanding you to do this." In other words, faith, promise, giving is not something you have to do. Now, I really believe the tithe is a command, okay? But faith, promise, giving, this is free will offering. This is not something I have to do. This is something I get to do. In other words, I get to be involved in giving to missions so the missionaries can go to the different places around the world and preach the gospel. And when they preach the gospel, that result is put on my account, and I'll get it when I get to heaven. Amen? So we get to be involved in what the Lord is doing. You remember when Mordecai encouraged Esther to do something about the situation in the Persian Empire there. And he said to her, "Now, if you don't do this, somebody else will." Now, you don't have to get involved in soul winning. You don't have to get involved in going to church. You don't have to get involved in tithing and giving the missions and so forth. But you get to. So faith promise is not something I have to do. It's something I get to do. I began giving in 1968, and honestly, every year since 1968, I have increased my faith promise giving. My wife also gives, and she does not work outside the home, but she does control some money, okay? So my wife gives to faith promise, and every year we increase our faith promise giving, and honestly, you could not pay me enough money to get me to quit giving to mission. It's not something you have to do, it's something you want to do. But notice what he said. Okay, Paul, if it's not a command, then why the big deal about it? "I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion and the forwardness of others." Now notice what he's saying. I want you Corinthian Christians to see what other churches are doing. Look at the Macedonian churches, the church in Philippi, the other churches in Macedonia. They're going through great affliction. They're in deep poverty. But they're giving generously. So we could say today, hey, look what the missionaries are doing. They're leaving their homeland. They're leaving their families. They're leaving their culture. They're leaving all of those things. And by the way, if they are willing to do that, then surely we that are here in America and stay here should be willing to give so they can go. And then he said, not only that, I don't only want you to see what others are doing, but he said, I want you to prove the sincerity of your love. You say you love me. You say you love the church. You say you love world evangelization. You say you love lost souls. He said, okay, prove it. I can remember when, as a boy, some fellas would kind of boast about something, and many times we'd say to them, put up or shut up. Okay? And I think God says to us sometimes, you say you believe this. You say you believe the world is lost and dying and going to hell. You say you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Okay? Then do something about it. Prove the sincerity of your love. And when you put down your faith, promise, commitment, then you'll be proving how much you love the Lord and how much you love what God is doing. Jesus said to his disciples, "Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven." So he said, prove the sincerity of your love. Now look at verse 9. And look at the passion for faith promise gift. Why should I give to faith promise? Why should I give something above my regular tithe and offering for world evangelization? So look at verse 8 or verse 9. For you know, now look at the word know, okay? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what Paul did not say. He did not say, you know about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he said. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it is an experiential knowledge. You have experienced the grace of God. Testimony. How many of you have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you say, I've been saved by the grace of God? Lift your hands real high, okay? I've been saved by the grace of God. Okay, that's what Paul is saying. You know, you have experienced personally the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God for his grace. Amen. Now look at it. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. The passion for missions. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich. And how rich he was. I mean, the entire universe was created by him and for him. I mean, it all belonged to him. And yet he left heaven in all of its glory and came to this earth as a servant. He lived some 33 and a half years. He did nothing but good. Everything he did was good. He was the impeccable Son of God. There was no sin in him. From the time of his birth till the time that he died on Calvary's tree, absolutely no sin whatsoever. He was tempted in all manners such as we, but don't you like that last phrase? Yet without sin. Yet when he died the death of a sinner. Now Jesus did not become a sinner, but he became sin. He did not become a sinner, but he became sin. And all the sins of the whole world were placed upon him. Listen to him. As darkness engulfs the world, and from that cross we hear the Lord Jesus Christ as he makes this statement. Eli, Eli, lama, sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And for the first time in all eternity, God the Father and God the Son are separated. Because God the Son has become sin. For he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God through him. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have experienced that grace. Now, and I say to people all over the world, if you do not know anything about the grace of God, if you have not experienced the grace of God, then don't even think about giving so others can hear the gospel. But if you have experienced the grace of God, then surely we want to give so others can experience that also. The passion for missions is not because we need something. It's not because God needs something. But it's because we love him. And by the way, we love him because he first loved us. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now look, just one other verse, okay? And herein I give my advice, verse 10. Again, Paul is saying, I'm not commanding you to do something. I'm giving you some good advice. By the way, Paul's advice is good advice. Amen? It's inspired advice. We know that now. Paul might not have known that, but we know it, okay? And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. Look at the word expedient. You know what Paul is saying? Hey, this is good for you. This is good for you. That's what expedient means. It's good for you. I remember when I was growing up, if anybody got sick in our household, my mother always gave us a dose of castor oil. And even today, Brother Weaver, sometimes she'd put in orange juice. And I don't like orange juice till this day because I can still see that castor oil. It didn't mix with anything. It didn't matter what you put it in. It didn't mix it. And it was horrible. You know. And now it was good for you, okay? It kept you going, okay? But it was horrible. It was horrible going down, okay? Now, but notice what Paul is saying about faith promise giving, okay? He said, hey, don't look at this as something that's like castor oil, okay? Don't look at this as something that's bad and, you know, well, I have to do it. No. He said, let me tell you something. This is expedient for you. Let me give you some advice. And as an older person, I started to say old, but I'm not old yet, okay? I met a lady today in her 90s, so I'm not old, okay? Old is 10 years older than me, okay? But as an older person, okay, it's good for you. I've never had, Brother Patterson, you could agree with me on this. Of all the conferences I've been in, all the times I've preached on faith, promise, giving, all the times I've preached on tithing, I've never had a person until this day to say, Brother Sisk, when you began to teach on tithing and I've made a commitment to tithe, that is the worst day of my life. That's when things begin to go downhill for me. When I started giving a faith promise, that's when things, never one time. But I could tell you of hundreds, thousands of people that have said, what a blessing it was when I got involved in faith promise giving. Could I tell you this morning? It's good for you. It is expedient for you. Now look at verse 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it. Verse 10 he said, now herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do but also to before it a year ago. He said, now some time ago you made a promise to do this. Now look at verse 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it. Today is commitment day, okay? In just a few minutes you're going to vote. Going to have a business meeting here at Worth Baptist Church. In fact, the whole mission conference has been a business meeting. I like this definition. A mission conference is a local church in business meeting deciding the fate of the heathen. What you do or do not do with what you've heard this week will determine whether somebody hears the gospel, has a chance to get saved, or whether they live all their life and never hear the gospel and die and go to hell. This is expedient for you. You've done it. You've promised it. Now perform that which you've done. So today you make the commitment. Then for the 52 Sundays until next year when you mission conference and you make another commitment, you perform that which you've committed. I trust every one of you would get involved in faith promise giving. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Say it with me again, okay? Everyone giving something. And everyone giving more than you ever gave before.